die first.
Really? Oh, that's sweet. Let's see. You were my, I don't know, 3,000-something.
Word up. Should have worn a condom.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hello, I'm world-famous television news broadcaster Brendan McLaughlin, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast. That makes you really smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. I am your host, Will Coons. So nice to be back with you. How are you? I'm good. Had a rough day today. Another one. Can you believe it? I feel like I complain a lot. But, you know, this is my program, and I can do whatever I want. Today I fought my insurance company, my health insurance company, all day long today because I just wanted to give them my money. I got my new insurance and I sent a check. Never got a bill, but I sent a check because that's what you got to do. Got that check back, called them, see what was up. Oh, we canceled your policy. You need to send another check. Sent another check this month and got it back in the mail. So after skipping through a bunch of hoops and got to the point where you have to get mad. I don't like to get mad at customer service people because they don't know. I mean, they're just normal folks. I know my mom worked in customer service, and I felt, you know, she would feel, you know, get upset because people would scream at her all day over stuff that really wasn't her fault, but is the people up top's fault. So did you know that Florida Blue does not take credit cards? You can't pay with a credit card. You just can't. You can pay with a debit card. They can process debit cards. Their system can't handle credit cards, which it's just a number. It's the same thing. But they don't take credit cards, probably because they make a few more pennies if they don't accept credit cards, I'm assuming. That's what it has to do with, because they're not making enough money as it is. So, but in the end, you know, you don't win. You fight and scream with them, and you might feel a little better for yelling at them and telling them that they screwed up. This poor Indian woman overseas that has no idea what is really going on, but I'm screaming at her like it's her fault. But I feel better in the long run. And I guess that's all that matters. And what did I do? I had to pay with my debit card because that's just the way it is. I mean, it's not going to change because you yelled at them. And, so yeah, I got my insurance back today after about 8 whole hours of fighting with them and figuring out how I'm going to pay this thing because it had to be done today, of course. I couldn't send a check. I couldn't, but it's done. Why am I still talking about it? It's done. Everything's fine. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and a few others that are on this network, including James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast, The Hurricane Howell Show, which is, I hear, coming back this week after a brief hiatus. Adam, I kind of just let him do what he wants to do. It's whenever he wants to do a show, he can. So he says he's going to do one for this week. We're going to record it. So there's that one. And James has a few more before he heads off to Wisconsin. So just put in HMB Radio Tampa Bay in your iTunes, in your Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. It should be there. And subscribe. Give us a rating, a good one, preferably. I would appreciate that. only takes a minute, you know, less than a minute, and it really helps out the show. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Thank you to Sly Bar. Check them out at slybar.com and facebook.com/slybarstpete. And also Truvy Salon and Spa. Truvy is located at, come on computer, you're better than this. This computer actually is 6 years old, I think. It's still kicking. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, here in St. Petersburg, Florida. You can call and make an appointment if you want. Chrissy Parker will do your hair or your nails or whatever they do at spas. 727-329-9751. TruvySalonAndSpa.com is the website. That's T-R-U-V, as in Victor, Y, SalonAndSpa.com. This week on the program, we have Got Jokes Improv Group. They stopped by, talked difference between improv and stand-up, what they prefer more. It was a good time all around, good dudes. And they left me some tickets here for their show coming up on March, I think it's the 11th? March 11th, I believe, at the, what is the theater? Stageworks Theater. 110, yep, these are them. So I have a few tickets to their show. We'll plug it on the HMB Radio Facebook. I'll have more information. The tickets are written a little funky and some weird text there. So I'm going to take 49% of the responsibility for screwing that up. But we talk about it later in the show where it's located at. And two tickets to the show available. If you want them, email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Send me a message on Facebook, HMB Radio. You can find us there. And we also have a post up on the Radio St. Pete page where you can tweet us, you know, however. Just say, hey, we want those tickets to the Got Jokes Improv show coming up on March 11th here. So let's get to it. The Got Jokes Improv team coming up this week on The Homemade Broadcast.
You got the track now. You got the track now.
Got Jokes. What's up, guys?
Oh, we started.
Yeah, we just go right in. Yeah, no.
Hey, all right.
Make sure you get your faces right up in here because these mics aren't the best. So, okay. What's up? Introduce yourselves. All that stuff. All
right. I'm the founder of Got Jokes, Daniel Motown Pride Jefferson.
I am. What am I? The senior. Senior member of Got Jokes?
Have CEO? Longest... Executive?
No, he's the executive.
He's the most senior.
What's the second after CEO? There's CEO and then CFO or something? Is that how it goes? Assistant manager?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That depends on your corporation. Yeah, we ain't got that. Terry's the captain.
He's the captain.
I'm the captain. Yeah,
okay.
He's the most senior member of Got Jokes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The originals. The original.
Yeah.
And I am the one of the creative directors, Barry S. Naylor. Yeah, that's it.
So how'd you guys get together?
That's interesting. This is actually...
Craigslist, but you know.
actually was a brainchild of an idea that I got after seeing a friend of mine, Ryan Hortman, perform.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Came up with an idea to start an improv troupe. What a lot of people don't know is that... Are you familiar with Ryan?
Right. I know of him. I don't think I've ever met him, but
so he's one of the original members as well. So I was trying. My background actually comes as a spoken word artist in the entertainment industry, and I was trying to figure out a way to work with Ron Hortman in something creative, and that's how I came up with the concept of Got Jokes. Past that, I ended up doing an open audition, and we auditioned people all over the state of Florida. Didn't realize that it was such a need and that people were really interested in an improv troupe that had some backing behind it. And then along the way, Barry came along and kind of rounded out the original cast. So
how many total are in the group?
Over the years, we've had...
Well, I mean like your current lineup
now. Current lineup, we have 10 active members and locally here in the Tampa Bay area.
And does that shift or you try to keep it at 10? Is that like the magic number?
I typically don't like to go higher than 10. I think this is the biggest we've been.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be at 10. It rotates. We have Got Jokes people all over the country. So If you're here, you perform. If you leave and come back, you can. You always have a home.
It's a like a franchise type of thing. You got them all over the country.
No, it's think of it like a our home base is here in Tampa, but think of it like a it's a group that you get into and you never really get out.
You know how the Justice League is like one dope group and everybody got their own individual TV shows where they go like you know Flash is in Star City and everybody's that's pretty. We're the Justice League of comedy.
I got you.
Of improv.
So do you all do stand-up, too, or just improv? Or?
We do it all.
Do it all?
Yeah, we have stand-up comedians. We have spoken word artists. We have actors, actresses that are in TV and film. So we have a vast array of talent in the group.
Why do people hate comedy? Meaning, especially improv, I feel like it's a bad rap. But as far as local people, like... You can get people to come see a rock band or something like that, but it's way harder to get people to come see a comedy show.
You want to hit on that, Tarek?
Because a lot of us are bad. There's a lot of bad comedians.
Yeah, but there's bad bands, too. I mean,
music is, people don't understand music. Everyone feels like they're funny, you know? And they see somebody who's not that much funnier than them, then they feel like this was a waste of time.
They
want to see somebody be like really, really, like much, a lot better than what they think they could do. And
everybody's not a musician.
Yeah, people don't understand. They don't know the drummer's not that good.
So my perspective is a little bit different. So from an improv stand, I can answer it two ways. Number one, people who don't like improv probably think it's corny. Because at its roots, most people use it as training exercises for actors. And so they don't necessarily completely focus on the entertainment value for the mass populace. But I think that's what kind of what makes us unique, because we do really kind of hit a popular sector. We have an edginess to us. And one of the really unique things about our group is that everyone that actually performs and got jokes right now is actually a stand-up comedian or an aspiring stand-up comedian. And that's different. I know if you've ever typically you watch improv troupes, they have more of an acting type of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Our people have impeccable timing, you know.
Right,
and so I think that makes it a lot approachable, more approachable. Now, as far as, like, why does local comedy get such a bad rep? I think it's mostly because you have the same kind of, you have the same comics that are doing materials in the same place. They get a little bit more overexposed, and then people kind of get tired of them. That's one of the reasons why we kind of came up with the improv model. Because this show is different every time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's tough. It's tough to pitch local comedy unless you really have a nice circulation of people that are really spreading themselves around.
Right.
But if you're doing the same bit around town for the past 9 months, somebody may walk in and say, I don't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah, I had that problem. I had a few mics that I was running, and you know, it was going great for a long period of time, but it got to the point where people, you know, weren't showing up as often. And then finally I was just like, what's up? You know? And that was the answer they gave. I can't hear that guy do that joke anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
But we're lucky because actually most of the got joke comedians have tons of material.
Uh-huh.
And we like the fact that they're diverse. We actually do a stand-up comedy show too, where we actually feature all of the got jokes members. And I think collectively, I mean, they're a really talented group. And I'm not just saying that because they're my family. I mean, they are really talented performers in the stand-up comedy realm, too.
Is being a stand-up kind of a requirement for doing improv?
No.
No.
You can. Yeah, but isn't the idea to be funny?
I would think so. It's different, though. Some people miss that.
So stand-up is a selfish thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's about you and your relationship to an audience directly or to no one.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, you know. Mm-hmm. But improv is not, like, it's about everybody up there. And you want it to be funny, but it happens. Like, it just happens.
Is there ever a time where maybe you get, the idea is to be funny, but you kind of, just through the process, it kind of stretches off into... No other emotions? Like, have you ever had, like, a sad scene? Or is it always...
Honestly, in our group, doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
But I think it's because of the makeup of the group, though.
Right, so, right.
We do have one of the things that I have a lot of pride in is that all of our performers are also very diverse. Mm-hmm. So if you look at a Got Jokes cast, there's not one member that is the same as another. They all could teach an improv class completely differently. Whereas you see a lot of improv troupes, they're very interchangeable. Our people are a lot, it's like a bunch of alphas together that have figured out a really good chemistry. Mm-hmm. Think about incredible one-on-one players that have somehow been able to come together and make it work.
It's like the Hunger Games. They all put us on this island and we decided to fight against the system.
That's such a great analogy. That's nothing Got Jokes. We always come up with random analogies, but they all make sense. And that'll be an example of one.
So what are the demographics of the group? I mean,
we have
everything.
We have everything. So
We're missing she's 1/16, so that counts.
What are you about to say?
I said we're missing the Asian, but Nina's 1/16.
Yeah, that counts. We have
a DJ that's half Asian, so that kind of part. It's hard to find Asian comedians.
Who's
Ace?
Oh, I was like, man,
I think I've only seen one in the years I've been, running open mic. One dude. That was what? It.
Like one Asian in your lifetime? Oh,
I know. I don't really leave that apartment.
We can go to the mall. Yeah. And we can go to the mall.
They're like unicorns in comedy.
Do you think that's true, though, that your racial background has an effect on, because there's not a lot of Asian comedians.
I wouldn't say
race.
Is
there a reason for that?
I wouldn't say, why? Say race or just cultural?
It's not race, culturally.
Cultural.
Okay.
It's passed down to... just getting into stereotyping now. First of all, like, say the Asian people are very diverse people. Yeah.
Not very funny, though. Yeah, but as a whole.
Generally, they're more disciplined for certain things. Their parents are very strict to have them doing certain things, and they're not often allowed to, explore other stuff unless it has a purpose.
Right, right.
There's one kid out in Cali. He's on a come up. His name is Vance. Vance Man or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's an Asian comedian coming up. So be asking me for advice and stuff like that. So I've seen a few.
There's some dope ones out
there. Yeah, it's dope. I don't think they probably get the attention.
I can't think of any, though. I mean, Aziz Ansari, he's Indian. I guess that counts as Asian.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Dat Fan.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
I've actually never seen her, but it's Ali Wong.
Yeah.
She's really funny too.
She's funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not like a, I don't know. I think
maybe they're there, they just don't get the spotlight and the attention as much as others. Because I'm pretty sure the comedians like everywhere you go, but sometimes it's like the narrative. Somebody needs to put the spotlight on them for you to bring you into their world, for you actually know that they're existing.
How many Asians are in America though? Like, what are we?
Point.
Maybe it's appropriate. It's the appropriate number of Asian comedians.
I think they're like 0.02% of the population.
That's a good point. Four or five of them.
Per capita, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know there's like clubs probably in Japan and China and stuff like that. I would be interested to see what they talk about.
I'm a Google.
Yeah, like the best Chinese comedian or something. But you won't be able to understand it probably because he's talking Chinese.
If there was a really funny Chinese comedian, they'd probably be a guy joke.
I don't know.
You're going to put the casting call out right now.
I will look for them.
So you guys got a show on March 11th. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we have a show at Stageworks called the Got Jokes Experience. And we've been performing at Stageworks now for over a year. And what's different from this show than shows that we've had in our past, first of all, Got Jokes is... We're coming on our 10th year, which was something we're really proud of. We've won 4 Best of the Bay Creative Loafing Awards, and we have people all over the country. I've tried to work with people in the group to try to create something that is a legacy, and I feel like we have done that with incredible talent. And one of the things that we've done is tried to push ourselves and push creativity to be better and do something more more creative every time, and that's what the Got Jokes Experience is. It's done in a stage. Or it's done in a black box theater where we use light cues and music and all different types of elements to really build more of an experience and not have it be such a linear type of we're doing improv, here's the next game that's coming.
Right.
So that's what the Got Jokes Experience is. And this show that's coming up on March 11th, we're excited about it because we have 2 new members debuting. CJ Hernandez and Becca Childs.
Okay, yeah, I know them.
Yep. Very talented stand-up comedians and improvisers. And then we also tried to bring in special guests. This year is kind of a theme. We're bringing back Got Jokes members from all over the country. But in this particular show, we're going to have Dynasty, who is an international hip-hop artist who calls Tampa her home, but is originally from Queens. She is going to be not only performing but hip-hop, but she will also be acting in some of our improv games. So we're excited about that, too.
Yeah, what's the biggest challenge as far as doing improv? I mean, I know, is it more just getting out there like comedy, like stand-up? But you also have to work together as a team. I mean, you got to... You know what I'm saying?
What I would say is probably the most difficult part is probably when we're trying something new. We've been together for years, so it kind of just works out now. So we kind of know each other's like rhythm and whatnot as far as who's going to be the one that probably leads the scene, who can we know how to to feed off each other's energy and stuff and like that. So when we bring a new game that we're not really used to, we have a new member in. Then we try to get that chemistry, just developing that chemistry between all the players and whatnot. So that might be the most difficult thing, but sometimes we have off nights other than that. But
I've never had an off night.
He's
I don't think I've ever had an off night.
I don't think you hit.
It's kind of a true statement.
It's not very difficult for me at all. I don't understand the problem.
You probably had a not so on night.
Never off.
It's hard. The thing that kind of I'm enamored with bands and stuff, is that they get together, they pick times to practice, and I would imagine it's kind of the same thing with the improv people. How do you organize these 10 people?
That might be the hard part of it.
If I would have answered it, I would have said when you get 10 talented performers who are doing art, because I encourage everyone that got jokes to have their own career. You know, we come together as a collective, so it is difficult to get all those schedules to come together. It's one of the reasons why the size of the group is so big, because we try to have a practice once a week, and we try to never have an excuse not to come together.
Yeah.
But also, if we have people that are filming, you know, we have people that are doing big shows across the country, you know, and I encourage them to do all of that. But we still want to get a core of at least 5 or 6 people together so we can get together and work on some things.
So do you just have Tuesdays, 8 p.m.? That's when we're going to meet?
You're close. It's Tuesday, 10 p.m.
Oh, okay.
It's late.
That's every week, though, and if you know, hopefully everybody can make it. They know not to plan anything around that. Yeah. That's your day.
Yeah, you try your best not to plan anything.
Yeah. Good luck.
So, I mean, you all have other jobs, too, right? So, I mean, you're doing that, and then you're pursuing this as well. You're doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. How do you manage your time?
Well, it's only 2 hours, so you can fit everything else. You got 168 hours in a week. Yeah. We just asked for 2.
You spend more time than that, though, as a creative director.
Yeah. I do it by not having sex.
So that saves them 2 minutes.
Right. Being a little generous there.
He's gonna give me back. He's gonna give me back. So.
It's a strong two, though.
It's a job done. Yeah,
not off the bench.
There's another way I manage that, though, and that's through I get help. You know, one of the biggest improvements that I think I've made in Got Jokes over the years is that I've spread the responsibilities out. There used to be a point in time where I did absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Now I have 2 creative directors that are excellent, very talented, and Barry and Chuck. Who have been creative directors for the past year and a half, and they've done a great job. Most of the stuff you've seen in Got Jokes Experience with the new developments, that's been all of them. Incredible stuff. I also have a new relationship with Nighttime Entertainment, and that's with Julie, who I brought back on. We have a previous relationship in Got Jokes where she first started coming and working in the entertainment community with us. She branched out and created an incredible business. She's phenomenal, and I recognized that in order to take this to another level, that I needed to surround myself with the best talent possible, and that's why she's here.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to grow, and you can't be afraid to spend money.
Yeah, you got to spend it to make it, I guess. That's the rumor.
You do.
So how many shows, do y'all put on for improv, like, in a year, let's say? Is it like one a month type of thing, or?
It averages out to about one a month.
Uh-huh. And is it the same theater every time? You try to move around?
We move around, so we've performed pretty much everywhere in the Tampa Bay area in the past 9-10 years. But most of our shows this year are going to be at Stage Works. Mm-hmm. We always have an annual show that we do at the Tampa Improv. We're trying to include the Orlando Improv in that. And then outside of that, we're doing shows all over the state of Florida, just kind of sprinkled in. And St. Pete, we typically do a lot of shows at Nova 535. Mike Novella is
Yeah,
he's one of my business partners.
Beautiful, building there. The inside's really nice.
We have a great history with him. We used to do the Big Bang Show here in St. Pete.
What is that?
That was the Tampa Bay area's version of America's Got Talent.
Oh, okay.
So, and it was an incredible showcase of talent. We had everybody, like the Cirque du Soleil, Strongmen, and Illusionists, and singing groups. It was a massive competition. We did that for about 3 or 4 seasons. We definitely have a strong relationship with the St. Pete community.
The Big Bang Show is not happening anymore, though?
Right now, it's not happening. We still work with Nova 535. We do events on occasion. We're working on trying to do something again this year. That relationship we will always continue to foster. But the Big Bang Show, we are not currently doing that anymore.
And did you, like, film them or something? Like, put them on YouTube or something like that? Or is it just purely
there? Is some film that exists of all the shows that has never surfaced.
On purpose or just...
You know, the world will never know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. They had all the cameras set up. I was like, okay, cool. And then it's like...
You could probably find random YouTube videos of clips if you try really hard.
Mm. So you got the March 11th show. And then you got any more coming up after that already planned?
Yeah, we do. Pull up my calendar. That wasn't on my notes.
It's amazing. I have people come in here that are comedians, and I'll ask them, like, hey, what are your dates? And they go, I don't know.
Hey, man,
how do you not know?
You got to look in the phone sometimes. It's a lot. It's all spread out.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, I get that. Like, you may not have them offhand, but you're coming to do, you know, a podcast. You should have your stuff available.
Yeah. Well, May 22nd. Right? Yeah, because Corey got April.
April 22nd is the next show. Mm-hmm. I think that is a combined show with both.
Oh, yeah. Do y'all work with, like, other troops and stuff like that? Or is it just, no, when you do a show, is it just got jokes?
We're very into ourselves.
Yeah. Because I went to one, and it was at, I want to say the Lunchbox in Ybor. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was just a box.
Yeah.
The box. And they had, like, 10 groups. And that's kind of how they did their thing.
I was being funny when I said we're selfish, but the bottom line is that I feel those groups do.
I don't know. Julie's laughing a little too hard at that one. I feel like there's an insight there.
I feel like we go after a different type of market.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that those groups are very similar in that most of them are long form groups. And what we do is kind of more on it's a different type of market. So,
meaning, how is it different long form as opposed to what you all are doing?
Short form is typically games, and it's very quick and explosive. Long form is more of a, you get a suggestion and you perform something for 15, 20, 30 minutes. It has highs and lows. It hits all the emotions. Got Jokes is just like it's just smack in your face laughter for about an hour and a half.
Yeah. We got the Got Jokes improv team here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. What other improv groups do you all like that you see that you're like, those guys are good, if the people, you know, wanted to check out some other things?
I'm a Hawk and Wayne fan. Mm-hmm.
Definitely Hawk and Wayne.
You stole my answer.
Yeah. Dear, I like Dear and Gertrude.
Yeah, I like them too.
Dear and Gertrude was good. I like them.
Who were the group that was at the box with Chago?
That's Dear and Gertrude. I've been to a couple of their shows. I like they. It's really outside the box thinking, no pun, but yeah, I like the shows.
So I would probably, the groups that I'm the biggest fans are probably outside of Florida. It'd probably be Second City.
Yeah, they're like super famous. I don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
Like What's the other one, too? They used to have a show on Comedy Central. The
UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade.
That's it.
Brigade.
Yeah.
Those are the two that really kind of catch my attention.
How do you all deal with, you seem like you all are very upfront, alpha type of dudes. How do you deal with those competing egos?
Well, we don't have that in the group. That could cut out real quick.
We put them in the same with Tarek and he embarrassed
him. Oh, yeah. Tarek will humble you.
I'm so competitive.
That's what we do. We just keep putting them in scenes with Tarek, and then they start to realize they're not as good as when.
Yeah.
Now, here's...
and then they get better, yeah, and then we start trying.
But here's what really happens, though. It's like we do have those personalities, but... It just
not against each other.
It makes us better.
Yeah.
So like if somebody does something, even in practice, and we're trying something new, and somebody does it, like say Barry goes and he does it really well, then it only makes me want to do it, you know, as much. That's where the alpha, the competition comes in. But it's not like mean, you know.
Sometimes you need to realize where your place is and remain humble. Sometimes something gets a little intense in the scene. I'm like, well, you know what. They need to leave this scene, and
you'll ever fight with each other?
Yeah.
He likes to fight me all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Even if he's right, I just say something.
You gotta keep people humble.
And he's a great debater too. Yeah. So it's like if he starts an argument with me, then I start to wonder if I'm wrong. Right.
Yeah. You just gotta do it. Very persuasive. Can't let his ego get out of check. Everybody's agreeing with him.
When people like comedians in the group argue, it's like the point that they, because you know we pay attention to everything. So you'll find one little slip up that somebody makes, and then you just expound on it, and it gets fun from the outside. Like if they get into it. I try to be like the mediator between the two. I'm like, I see both points, but on the side, I'm like dying laughing because it's hilarious.
Yo, punch him, dude.
it ain't not gonna be physical. Nah.
So the side that most people don't see is that there's a part underneath where I feel like I have a strong relationship with most of the people in the group, and a lot of it is just talking to them afterwards.
Mm-hmm,
at the end of the day, these performers are artists that are very sensitive about their craft.
Yeah,
and you have to make yourself very vulnerable anytime you come into a situation you're not familiar with, and a lot of it is just convincing folks that we already believe that you are funny. You got nothing to prove. Just get out there and perform, and don't care about what people think.
Right. If you wanted to, how do you get involved with improv? Like, you can just go to an open mic if you want to do comedy, but it seems like improv's a whole other animal.
In general?
Yeah, like if you wanted to try it, like, is there an open mic for improv?
Well, there's somebody is doing something like a workshop type deal in Tampa, I think. But most of those people who are doing that, most people take class, to be honest. Most people start taking the improv class, and that's how they get hooked up into it. Or, you know, they're doing it from their acting class, and then they like meet with some people and say, let's do an improv group.
Like if somebody went to the Got Jokes Facebook page and sent you a message and said, "Hey, I want to get involved. How do I?" You say, "Yeah, no,
Hunger can't Games. Do this. You gotta.
Competing
the Hunger Games.
At this point, it's really an invitation only thing for Got Jokes.
Okay, all right.
Only because we have a lot of veterans in the group. Mm-hmm. Like the two people that we added in the group, they come from a very strong background in improv.
Right.
At this point, it's difficult. Most improv troops have a lot of turnover where people kind of do it for 2 years and then leave. We literally have veterans that have been doing this for 7 to 8 years in the group. So mm-hmm. you can't just, mm-hmm. we're very selective. So if you see somebody in the Got Jokes crew, literally we have all come together and said, this is one bad performer. We need to
CJ and Becca, we was just like CJ came like just being like one of the guests for like the intermission for the show, but they were just coming around and we started to watch them. And they just like blended in. You would think they were already in the group. So, and that's rare that people come through Got Jokes and just automatically mesh like that. So you got to hop on that. And
it's tough because it is a unconventional form of improv, like mm-hmm. what we're doing. So a lot of people who are, you know, maybe good improv performers still have a hard time adjusting, you know, because to our style. Because it's very, like you said, it's very fast. It's not fast-paced, but it's very, like, we have a lot of hits. You know, it's not like a wait for a big payoff. Like, you're going to get your payoff early, and you're going to get it often.
You guys talked about being diverse. Was that intentional, meaning you wanted, I want a white lady. I want two black dudes, still trying to find the Asian.
Yeah.
But is it just kind of happened naturally?
It's really hard to avoid white people. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
We
run into them, and then you just put them in the group.
We had a no more black people rule. I'm sorry. Well, the black people came up with that choice, so
we should note that you are black too. So hey, I don't want to get in trouble.
Did you not read my shirt?
I wanted one of those. I saw that dude, and I was like, dude,
Vince,
I want that shirt.
Yeah, yeah, Vince had his shirt.
Yeah, is that guy local?
Vince in Orlando.
Yeah. You know what I noticed that was bizarre to me, because I went to the Michael Blackson show.
Yeah, he's funny.
I've never seen a room like that before. It seems so different than conventional comedy shows. People are up dancing around. There's music playing while he's doing stand-up. Loud bass. It was amazing. People were just... No, I've seen people heckle.
Yeah.
Not like this, though. It was dudes getting up and saying, you... It was intense.
To Michael Blackson?
It was the middle, the feature.
Antoine Blackman?
Antoine. Yeah.
Like, he was getting heckled like that?
Yes, I thought he was gonna charge stage and fight.
Nobody tried to tell those people.
Was Antoine? Was he? Wait a second, because I know Antoine. Was Antoine roasting the person first though?
I was pretty drunk, so I'm trying to remember.
Because people don't usually just stand up and just say "F you" without a little bit of motivation.
Yeah,
I don't really remember, but I don't think so. I don't think he's really. Now, when the guy started talking to him, he did.
Yeah,
you know, start getting him back.
Okay,
but it quickly escalated.
Yeah, well, that's Sunday night.
Friday.
The night I saw you.
I think so.
This is a predominantly black.
Oh, dude, crowd. I was all the only black. Me, Zach, and John Jacobs were the only white people. Well, no, that's not true.
No,
maybe two more.
There's probably a couple more scattered in there.
Yeah.
John Jacobs is on the fence too.
Like, you know, a couple pieces of salt.
Honorary member.
That's a historical comedy, black comedy room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily all the time like that anymore, but that's like, you know, I don't know. I've been doing comedy. What year is it now? 2017? 15
years? You mean the show or the improv itself? Is a
show.
Well, that show.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've been doing comedy 15 years, and like when I started, it was a lot of nights like that. It was Apollo nights, you know, and, you know, get your funny on festivals, stuff like that. So, but in that environment, it's... The audience feels
they can be part of the show.
They can participate.
Yeah.
They're really vocal. Like,
they why? Why is that?
I think because some of the, when you go back historically, like the Chitlin Circuit shows, those comedians that we look up to, like the Red Foxes and the Dick Gregory's, you know, when they did those shows, the comedians interacted because they were in small, tight areas, and a lot of the things was working with the crowd and doing things. And so people model themselves after that, and then the audience does the same. And then it just goes and goes and goes, and then that just becomes a tradition. Hmm. Like D.L. Hughley used to do, I don't know if he still does it or not, but like the last 5 minutes of his show,
just go down
he just
line.
Made fun of people in the audience. Like, and we wanted that. That's like, that's why we loved D.L. Hughley at that point, like, because we knew he was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing now. You got like different, you know, Jared Carmichael's and Dave Chappelle's and...
I guess even
you know, I'm saying for black comics in general.
But Dion, like, depends on who you.
Those shows are still happening.
Yeah, like Dion Cole. Those shows
are still happening, but that's not like there's not a narrow thing for black comedians anymore. We can do all this other stuff.
Which is dope.
But Michael Che had the thing too in the most recent one. He did. Yeah, we'll incorporate, like he said, incorporate the crowd. We just make everybody comfortable. Like it's. All conversational presentation, so therefore it's like you're just in a room with friends, so it gives you that comfortable nature. So I want to talk back, and plus, you know, alcohol helps.
Yeah. Because I remember I went to Chappelle when he was at Ruth Eckert not too long ago.
Oh yeah,
and there was a smattering of that. There was a fist fight that broke out. Which I don't know how you're at a comedy show. You spent $80 on these seats.
Ruth Eckert Hall.
Yeah.
What would Ruth Eckert say?
What? I don't know, because all the security guards are 80-year-old women, so I don't know. They just got to let them fight.
That fight. Nobody broke up that fight.
They just threw peppermint tea at them.
No, nobody broke up that fight. Whoever was fighting had to end that fight on their own, because who was going to step in on that
Somebody
one?
Had to yell, the tickets are $148.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, cool. Yeah, you Ruth, you know what had to suck? What they fought like in the middle, because you know ain't no aisle in the middle of it. You just stuck between people fighting.
Oh, that's crazy. Chappelle didn't break it up?
Hmm. He did. He mentioned it, and I think that did kind of settle everything down. But, yeah it was wild. But I've never seen like, you watch Kings of Comedy or something. That's probably my – that's what I know of, like, black comedy.
Yeah.
But this was – I didn't even know who Michael Blackson was until that Friday. So is that, like, a – that's a normal thing? That's what people do at those shows?
Those type of shows.
Yeah.
It depends on what type of comedian you are.
You got to
diversify. Whatever type of comedian you're going to draw.
You got to diversify your portfolio and just look at a different range. Cause
I do want to speak on the diverse thing, because you asked, was that intentional? The answer in all seriousness is yes. When I created the group, I was inspired by what I used to see from classic Saturday Night Live. Yeah. And I realized that right off the bat, I wanted to create a situation where before the scene even starts, you saw two people that you'd never think would even talk to each other.
Right, right.
Start off and just look at each other, and you would think, this has to be funny. And so that's what I wanted. I wanted contrast, and that's why I'm very picky when it comes to guy jokes. Mm-hmm. I try to bring two people in the group that are similar at all. So
well,
it makes it really hard to get members.
Yeah.
And every now and then you get someone that comes in, they feel very unique and special, and those are the people that I want in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that what makes them unique could be because they bring a cultural edge. It could be because they're just so talented. You know, we joked about how we had a ban on black people for a while, but the reality is that, you know, I really wanted to make sure that the group was very diverse, and then we had someone come in that was black, and they were phenomenal, and I cannot say no to great talent.
Sure, yeah.
Talking about Kojo.
I was talking about Betty.
Betty, too.
Yes.
They was together at the same time period. They came in the same time.
So, but that's what I want. I like to see a contrast in styles. The group represents the people that I like to hang around with, and I love everybody.
Like, nobody's style is the same. Nobody's style is the same.
Yeah, when you say diversity, I mean, yeah, you don't want it to be like an all
race
black, black group, right? Yeah, all black. Right. You don't want like all black male group. Nobody wants that.
Like some people may want it.
Those days are over. The New Edition movie, that's it. It's over. Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of a cool thing, because not only do you have the different voices, different, you know, backgrounds that you come from, but you're going to be able to appeal to so many. There's something for everybody.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
But I think for our styles is where our diversity really is. Like
that is very true.
Like everybody has a. Not a different style, but like a different knack for something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody has like a different knack for something. We used to have a guy, remember Rocky was like great for callbacks.
Rocky, shout out.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. He was great for callbacks, you know? So.
How different are the shows? Meaning, do you kind of run the same games and, you know, the performance is pretty much the same, maybe with a few variations on the words or vocabulary that you use?
No.
Or are they different show every time that you're going to see?
Well, when we put the shows on, for the March 11th show, we do the 7 o'clock and the 9 o'clock shows. So we'll run the same games, but the suggestions are always going to be different. So you're never going to see the same exact show back to back. Like, stuff will be completely different. Same game, but the way that everything is portrayed and carried out is 100% different from the previous.
But also, so the show that you see on March 11th won't be anything, even with the game structure, like the one we did before. So we have some favorites that we sprinkle in because everyone wants them, but we try to actually debut new content, new game styles every time we have. And our catalog of games is pretty massive. We literally have over 150 things that we can choose from, and every time we practice, someone comes up with a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't go to one show and say this was exactly what I saw last time.
Right, right. What's the process like for writing those bits? Is it kind of a group thing, or is it something like, oh, this would be a good idea, and then just telling them, let's try it out.
Writing what?
Like just a concept for a game or a sketch or something.
It's very organic.
Yeah.
And recently, Vinny has been doing it. Everything.
Yeah. Vinny would come with some crazy stuff.
But it's kind of organic. Like, we might do something we normally do, like at practice, and then a funny thing, something funny will happen.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, oh, you know, it'd be fun if we did that in a show. And then we try to figure out how to make that into something we could do in a show.
Right.
Like, we recently came up with the Shakespeare thing.
Yeah.
We took like a random movie and just did like a Shakespearean themed.
Yeah.
like New Jack City.
And it just happened. Yeah. I mean,
that's how it starts.
That was like organic.
A lot of times you come in with an idea that isn't completely fleshed out, and then as you start to talk it out, people come up with things, and then by the time we're done with it, we have something.
So it's usually like somebody will think of something, and then it gets built on by other people throwing blocks at them.
We allow them to kind of direct the whole entire thing. When things don't kind of work out, we say, why don't we try this? Mm-hmm. And then we just keep kind of playing with it. It's very rare that we get an idea that we actually don't flesh out.
Yeah.
Can I be honest and tell you what happens?
Please.
That happens, right? And then something funny happens. And then Barry says, we should do the show. And then we try to figure out how to do it in the show. And then Motown for like 20 minutes says, I'm not sure this is going to work.
Yeah.
And then four weeks later.
Right before
we'll
the
try
show.
It again. He's like, oh, okay, I like it. And then we'll do it. And we'll eventually do it. There's probably some stuff.
There's a thing we have in the group. Like, we'll compare. Like, if we come up with something new, it could be a different idea. Somehow we'll bring it back to what we have already. Somebody was like, oh, that's like such and such a game. He's like, all right, yeah, if you think about it like that, but this is something different. We're going to change it. But, yeah, but, you know, essentially,
yeah,
it's the such. I'm like, all right, yeah, let's get past that. And just,
remember we had that game and Motown hates it? we're trying a game where we just play off the fact.
Oh yeah,
certain
that,
things you
yeah.
know. So that game was awful. I'm glad we didn't do that.
We like our last game that we play at our shows called HBO Special. When I first introduced it to the group, everybody hated it.
Absolutely.
Like there was not one person in the group that liked it but me.
I liked it.
I did not.
Okay, well, one person liked
being
it.
Being honest, totally.
Everybody.
That's why we kept it is because
yeah,
I liked it.
Because everybody else hated it. It was like it's not gonna work. It's not going to work.
I was like, they said, this is not what we do as a group.
Yeah, I was petulant as a child. What are you doing this for? I was dumb.
We do care. We don't think like this. This isn't our style of comedy. And I was like, we should figure it out. And then
seven years now,
it's our grand finale game. You did ask about schedule, though.
Yes.
And I do. Oh, look at here. And I do have a schedule. So, obviously, we have our show on March 11th. On April 22nd, Corey Van Valen, who is our first magician, illusionist in Got Jokes history, he has a show at Stageworks.
Performing with y'all or his own thing?
It's a solo show.
Okay.
On July 8th, we actually, our double header is the 7 o'clock show is the Got Jokes Experience, and the second show is the Corey Van Valen show. And then on August 5th, we have another Got Jokes Experience show at Stageworks. So that's our Stageworks schedule. Outside of that, we have things going on all over the area. But that's our preliminary schedule. And I also have two tickets here that I will present to you.
Yes, right
and
on.
We want to invite you to come with a guest.
Awesome.
So you can come check us out on March 11th.
This is right near, it's on Kennedy. The address is 1120 East Kennedy Boulevard, right near... I always get the two malls mixed up because they're close together.
West Shore. No, it's in Channel Side.
It's in Channel Side.
Yeah, so if you remember the Channel Side.
This is what I was saying. I never get over to Tank Town. Even where I'm at.
Yeah, so that Channel Side spot where they have the bowling alley and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's right near there, right near the condos that were built.
Okay.
That were pretty new. I think about 3 or 4 years old. That's where you can find Stageworks.
Yeah, right on. If you had to pick stand-up or improv, what would you choose?
Oh, goodness.
Man.
Hard-hitting questions. This is why I'm the best in the city.
You going to go first?
Tarek, you go first.
If I had to choose.
Could only do one.
Rest of my life.
Rest of your life.
Oh, wow. It got deeper.
Man, I would. So I'm going to. I would do stand-up.
Stand-up.
But let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
Improv, I wouldn't be as good at stand-up if it wasn't for improv.
Right. That's why I assume that you had to be, it's good to have that background to get involved in improv. But all right, stand-up.
So,
Motown. Keep in mind, this isn't real, and this isn't.
I got you.
I'm not going to make you a good one.
So, okay.
He's not a genie.
All right.
You're confined to stand-up for the rest of your life.
I would tend to say individual performances just because that's more of a outlet. But, you know, obviously I can see the strength in the group dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel
mm-hmm.
like when you perform individually, it is more therapeutic for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think I would always sway that way.
Two for stand-up, just like that. You gonna switch it up on us?
I was thinking of a good reason to switch it up, but it's tough, man. Because I was doing. Thing is, I was the only true improv person in the group. Like,
that's where you start. You start improv first.
Yeah, I was doing improv. Yeah, I did improv with Theater Strike Force from Gainesville, so that's where I got started doing improv. And so stand up wasn't even like a thought until I got jokes and everybody was like, you know, you should try stand up. Mm-hmm. You're pretty much doing it now. I was like, nah, because I was always under pressure. Like, I got the group to be funny with, so if in case I don't have anything funny to say, I can just alley-oop
somebody
else. But now, I don't know, stand up is a drug, though. Once you get that first laugh, and then you, like, can feel you're in control of the audience, it's like you have a room full of people, like, no matter what the number is, like, they're attentive, and it's like a little power thing.
Yeah, to captivate a group of people like that, I mean, that is a power. It's a superpower.
Yeah, sometimes you can have that control over. You don't have to say anything. It's all off you, just physical aspect. I'm going to stand up.
Stand up. Three for stand up. Yeah, but improv is coming up March 11th. At the Stageworks.
Oh, segways.
That's 1120 East Kennedy Boulevard. Thank you guys for the tickets. What's your social media, individual and your group page?
Got Jokes Improv for everything. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And for individually is Motown Pride on all social media platforms.
Tarek?
My name is Tarek on Twitter and Instagram. And it's just my actual name for Facebook.
Nothing. Why'd your voice get low? It's
just actual name. Different personality came out.
His Facebook profile came out. It's like, I'm just
Barry?
Yeah, Barry S. Naylor on Facebook and BSN Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and whatever else. I don't know. All the stuff runs together.
All right, cool, guys. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck on the show.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. Got Jokes Improv. Go see them March 11th. Check the HMB radio page. I'll put the address and the event and all that in there. Get your stickers. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. I will pay for the shipping. I will send them to you. It's really not a problem. In fact, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for tuning in. This has been Will Koontz. It has been the Homemade Broadcast. And you're listening on Radio St. Pete. Stay tuned if you're listening on Radio St. Pete for a Frank Rivera's Jazz Show and the Indie Circuit coming up right after that. If you're listening on podcast, thank you for listening. I will talk to you next week. Cheers.